Today on VFN TV, we're going to hear the continued interviews with John Newland. These amazing stories, I'm telling you, ups and downs. They're so encouraging. They're challenging, but they're amazing. He says ordinary. I don't know. Just check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I know also there's a story you talk about, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Right. I thought that was pretty powerful because that was a pretty interesting thing you did as a young boy. Tell us about that story.
Well, yeah, I was in my early 20s.
Okay.
I was playing ball on an all-black baseball league. I was the only white dude in the whole thing.
Right.
I pitched and played at University of West Florida. I was a pitcher.
Okay.
And so I loved ball. And, you know, one day I was combining corn way out in the back 40, and here comes this young black man out of the woods. And I thought at first, I looked at him like, what's this? And then I could see everything was cool. He got on there with me.
Right.
Asked me if he could combine his corn. We made friends.
What is combine the corn? Because a lot of people don't know what that means.
Well, corn is grown in a crop. It's a tall crop. And a combine goes through the crop and separates the head from everything else.
Okay.
And it runs up a thing into a combine and sheds it. Now you got a bunch of kernels of corn that have been dried in the back of the combine.
Oh, okay.
One of the most favorite things I've ever done in my life. I could run a combine all day.
Wow, okay.
So when this young black guy come on here, it was like exciting to me. And we talked for a little bit, and I said, well, how much are they charging? I don't know. I said, I know we'll beat his price, and we did by a long shot.
They were taking advantage of him,
yeah,
right?
Somebody was taking advantage
too,
of him.
Yeah.
So I'd seen a ball diamond down off a hill, and it had a row of corn growing as a home run fence, like in Field of Dreams.
Oh, wow.
And so I wanted so bad to talk to him, so I said, hey, do y'all play ball? He goes, yeah, we play ball. He said, please come play with us.
Right.
And so that's how I got to know him, plus some other ways of...
What was the name of their fields?
Well, one was called Coon Bottom. Another was called...
Dry Spring?
Dry Spring. And they had others like that. One was down in Tallahassee,
Florida. This is
like
a book.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
One of my favorite moments playing in there, I was pitching in a place called Coon Bottom. And they would park their cars all around the edge of the field. If somebody hit a home run, they'd blow their cars.
Oh, wow.
All right, so here comes an elderly black gentleman. He's got a cup in his hand. He interrupts the game. I'm pitching. And he comes and brings the cup up to me. And I knew I had to receive it. And I didn't know what was in it, but I kind of had an
idea.
Yeah, I kind of had an idea. And sure enough, it was moonshine. And that was the first moonshine I ever had. And I took a big gulp by mistake.
Oh.
And it burned all the way down to my toes. And here's the God's honest truth. I never threw another strike.
Oh, wow. I'm sure you did. From that point on?
We on that game. I couldn't hardly throw a strike.
I bet you couldn't stand up straight.
It just hit me, you know.
Right.
I feel, you know, whatever. But that's the story about Coon
Bottom. It's kerosene, I think. Okay.
So at any rate, we're coming back to...
There was this squabble that took place.
Oh, yeah. We're playing a game. Mm-hmm. Our catcher had an affair with the batter that was coming to bat.
Okay.
Both of them were tough guys. Our catcher was known, he had a hawk knife. It's got a long and a hawk, it's like a carpet knife. He'd been known to put scars on a number of men. He would cut them. Oof. This big man with a bat, and they got into it.
Right.
And they were just about ready to cut. He had the knife pulled. He had the baseball bat reared back. Oof. And by the grace of God, I felt my spirit. I went up and I got right between them. And I put my hands like that to each of them.
And you got between a guy with a bat and a hook knife?
And a blade.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know exactly what I said. I think it was something about peace.
Right.
And they both eased just a little bit to where the teams rushed in and broke them up.
Wow.
And we had a session and we finished our game. So the name of that story is Blessed is the Peacemaker.
Yeah.
And so, Christian, we're supposed to be peacemakers in our own home.
Right.
Not stress makers, peacemakers. Right. Watch our words.
Yeah, blessed are the peacemakers. I think the scripture you put in your book is Matthew 5:9. It says, Jesus is talking, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Yeah, that's so important, you know. When I mean, police officers, the word comes from peace officer.
Right, there it is.
They're called to be able to bring peace out there in that situation. It's supposed to. So that's awesome. So literally, there's times we got to put ourselves into a situation that outside of God protecting us, but peace will resolve the issue. So this is a guy that's used to cutting folks.
Right.
This is another man whose wife's been cheated on. His relationship's been cheated on, adultery. And you stepped in between that in the middle of, at Coon Bottom Field. Coon Bottom Field?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well,
it's just an ordinary man's experiences with God.
Yeah, kind of ordinary. I don't know. I mean, that's amazing. Listen, we got to go to a break. We're going to be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back. One of Martin Luther's greatest achievements was undoubtedly the German Bible, bringing to a nation of many dialects one modern language.
Sequestered for his own safety under dire conditions, Luther translated the New Testament in just 11 weeks, followed in later years by his translation of the Old Testament.
It was Luther's desire that his translation reflect a spoken language as opposed to a more formal written German. He said, "We must ask the mother in the home, the children on the street, the common man, guided by their first language, and do our translating accordingly."
Luther's German Bible became the 16th century equivalent of a bestseller as people picked up its phrasing and its language in their everyday speech.
Engage with the Bible, with this book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you tell another story about running to the battle. Talk to us about that.
Okay, this story happened on a farm in Georgia, same farm where we were coon hunting. Mm-hmm. And we had an irrigation pond, and we were irrigating a crop up mm-hmm. on the side of the hill. Uh-huh. And so as we would pump that water, it brought down the level in the pond. Mm-hmm. About 10 feet of dry ground. It was kind of slippery and wet.
Right.
And I was coming from the hog pens down below the dam. And as I came up over the dam to the pond, it was a 3-acre pond, there was an unusually strong wind that day, maybe 30 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is there was white caps on a pond. Normally you'd see white caps at the beach.
Yeah, not
never,
a pond.
Ever on a pond.
Right.
There was a high wind, okay? And I looked out and I saw a strange sight. I saw a giant snake floating, swimming through the water, and he had his head 2 feet above the water.
Wow.
Generally, any snake I've ever seen I've never seen their head up in the air. What he was doing was trying to get him up above those white caps.
Okay.
He was swimming. I personally thought it was an anaconda.
Wow.
In my own mind, I'm kind of a snake guy. I've killed right. maybe 20 rattlers and a dozen big moccasins because I made my living in a swamp.
Right.
With swamp cattle and building fences. So I've seen a lot
Fort
of snakes.
Fort Myers, Southern.
Yeah. And just in my life, I've been blessed to be around a lot of rattlesnakes. So
blessed.
I have. Yeah. All right, so here comes my brother in a Jeep from up at the farmhouse. It was an old Willys Jeep with, to give you the picture, with the windshield down. It was green, no top, no sides,
right.
no brakes.
Right.
And he comes up on the dam.
Right.
And normally, a big snake like that, and I discerned it wasn't an anaconda, it was a giant moccasin.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought it looked like it was 6 feet long.
Okay.
And so usually the moccasins I've killed have been about 3 feet long, okay? But this snake, it actually turned kind of a gray color. Mm. He was huge because he was old.
Right.
And so I told my brother, I said, "Hey, we got to kill that snake.
Right.
He might hurt one of our children.
Right.
He might even kill a dog or a pig, a
right.
baby pig."
Mm-hmm.
I said, the problem with a moccasin in the water, they're in their element.
Right.
They're hard to get. And there's I've heard stories about they'll actually swim to a man.
Mm-hmm.
Most other snakes will run from you. I'm not sure about the stories about swimming to, because most of the moccasins I've seen try to get away.
Right.
And they're hard. I could maybe throw something at him, but in the water you can't get him. Hard,
right.
So I thought, Jerry, maybe if he goes up that bank,
mm-hmm.
what I can do is take his hog stick, and it was only about 3 feet long with a cane. It was
right.
a cane.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get between him and the water, he'll come to me.
Right, right.
All right. So
right.
my brother, he's what I call aggressively cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself cautiously aggressive.
Right.
Okay. So.
Right.
I said, I'm going to get him. So I ran, and I got between that snake and the water, ready for him to come at me.
Right.
Instead, he froze because his head had just gone into the grass. Mm. If you can imagine, there's water and then about 10 feet of muddy where it had been pumped down, and then there was grass. So he went up there and put his head in the grass, and immediately I smacked him on the back of the head.
Oh.
Then I smacked him again. And then I'll tell you what I did.
What?
Also with that other rattlesnake. I put it where I could cut their head off, because I'm going to tell this to everybody I know. I've told it to my legacy. If you don't cut off the head of a rattlesnake and you pick it up, they are not like a coon. They have a body reaction. They'll curl around, and if they strike you, they have a pouch of venom in the roof of their mouth.
Right.
And if they're dead or alive, when they strike you with their veins, it deposited that venom in you just like they were alive.
Wow.
So what I say, be careful to isolate their head and cut it off. So I could not believe how big that snake was. I could barely lift him off the ground.
Wow.
But I call the name of the story Run to the Battle.
Right.
Because there's times in life where you need to have no fear.
Right.
God didn't give us a portion of fear. You need to stand up and you need to step up.
Right.
And I'm believing right now in this nation,
yeah,
it's a time for men to step up.
Right.
And here's what a word that was given me. No more delay. Hey, Jack, it's time to be the priest of your home. You need to get up off that couch or wherever it is. You're at work, whatever it is. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian, okay? Jesus says, I don't mean this is a hard word. He says, I'm going to be ashamed of those that's ashamed of me. I had to make a decision, okay, wherever I'm at, I'm going to stand for the Lord. And I believe when he comes back with his angels, I believe by grace I'm an ordinary man. But because of my faith in him, he's going to recognize me. He'll recognize you. It's time to run to the battle. It is a battle. It's a battle for our country.
Yes.
There seems to be a force that's trying to take over. I'm not calling it red or blue or anything. I'm trying to tell you it's darkness and it's light. And we're on the side of light. So come on, Jack, it's time to make a decision to move forward with the rest of us ordinary men, and let's teach values to our children. Let's bring about a change in this country. I'm not a politician. I don't want to be a politician. But I want righteousness, because we serve the King of righteousness.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That is so good. I totally agree with it. We'll be right back after this break with more of the interview from John Newland.
We'll be right back.
When anybody preaches disunity, tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, you know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m., or you can join us online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So, John, the story here, you talk about, so you want faith.
Right.
And you have this man called Holy
Hubert.
Hubert.
Holy
man,
Hubert.
This is amazing with the Hell's Angels and all. Can you tell us the story here? That's like powerful.
Well, this was back in the very early 80s, maybe 79. I was a young Christian. I was a long hair, had hair down. Right now I look like Mr. Clean, short hair. I've had, cleaned up. But I had long hair, and I was hungry for God, okay? I was not ashamed. I was on the front row because I wanted everything I could get. Every service, I was on the front row.
Okay.
And a gentleman...
Isn't it amazing what you can hear on the front row that you can't hear?
Yeah, well, all the distractions gone.
Yeah.
The people are back there kind of looking at other people. I want to be where I'm looking for the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, so... Holy Hubert, okay, I never heard of him before. And he takes a pulpit, and he was a bold preacher.
Right.
And he was older. I think he was
65.
70, 65 or 70. And I didn't know the history on him. And you can YouTube him on YouTube.
Okay.
Holy Hubert. He was a preacher extraordinaire. He loved to preach on college campuses to the Longhairs. During that time, there was an uprising of against Vietnam and Longhair against the industrial, the 60s, the industrial military complex, okay? Right. And Hubert would go and preach Jesus, okay?
Right.
So he began to tell stories about some exploits. He wasn't bragging, he was just telling stories, okay?
Right.
To me, as an exploit is when there's trouble and you minister and God shows up and then there's fruit.
Right.
And really fruit that remains, okay?
Right.
So he was telling stories, and he said that he was at a hell, he went to a Hell's Angels convention.
Which are bikers.
Bikers,
right.
A bunch of bikers, okay? A bunch of them, a couple
Not just
hundred.
Not typical
of them.
Biker.
No, the rough of the rough, okay? Yeah. And maybe even devil worshiping
well,
bikers,
hell,
okay? Raise
angels,
hell.
Right.
They were the Hell's Angels,
right.
Okay?
Right.
Rough.
Which are falling angels. I guess I've thought about that before. You have God's angels and you have fallen. Okay, go ahead.
Hell's angels.
Hell's angels.
They were proud of it, okay?
Right.
So Hubert goes up, it comes from the back of the stage, goes up and takes the microphone.
At a rally or something?
At a rally.
Oh my goodness.
And he says, I want to preach Jesus to you. I'm here to preach Jesus. He loves you. And I'm going to preach the gospel. And a guy came up behind and snatched him from behind, pulled him off the back of the platform. This is Hubert telling us, and he punched him right in the nose, and his nose splattered. But he says to him, I love you. I love you in Jesus. The man, pow, hits him in both lips. Blood flies. He says, but I love you.
Oh, wow.
He looked him in the eye, and he said, I love you.
Wow.
He hits him again, and he goes out. Well, somehow they drag him off, and he survives. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, in the middle of the night, he hears banging on his front door. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang.
Right.
He gets up, and it's this biker. And the biker goes, it's you. Ever since that day, I've got to find this Jesus. The way you looked in my eyes and told me that you loved me.
Sure.
And ever since then, there's not a night been gone I haven't thought about it. Tell me about this Jesus. Well, Hubert told him about this Jesus. This man came to the Lord. And he became a Bikers for Jesus. And now he's got a law, an organization of 100 bikers that follow him. And they're all flying a flag for Jesus.
Oh, wow.
I call that an exploit.
Wow.
Hubert paid for it with his blood, so to speak.
Yeah.
I could tell you some more stories, okay?
Yeah.
One of them, I'll tell you one more.
That, by the way, that reminds me of David Wilkerson with Nicky Cruz.
Yes.
He literally got beat by Nicky Cruz, right?
Right.
And then because of he responded the same way, Nicky, he has a book called The Cross and the Switchblade talking about it. He literally rocked the world for Jesus because Nicky got saved.
Right.
Cruz got saved.
He did.
Lord, forgive me for ever complaining about any difficulty because that's much worse. You're getting beat.
All right, so Hubert's there on the platform. And I didn't know that he dealt with long hairs day in and day out. He loved long hairs. I'm the only long hair in the whole church. The rest of the church are what I call whitey-tighty. They're just Christians that belong to, you know, the whatever.
And long hair means people with long hair, right?
Yeah. I had long hair down my back,
okay?
And I was dressed up and clean, you know, there at church, and probably jeans and a shirt.
Right.
But at any rate,
shoes?
Hubert picks on me. He says, young man, he said, do you want faith? And I was shy. I'm shy now until you push me, and right now I'm not too bad because I'm telling stories and I feel the anointing, thank you, God.
Yeah.
So I said, nothing. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't hardly look at him.
Right.
He says, young man, look at me. I'm talking to you.
Right.
Well, if you push me, all of a sudden I kind of rose up. I said, do you want faith? Yeah. And I said, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, let me tell you. If you want wisdom, you go to the book of Proverbs. If you want love, study something like Corinthians 13.
Right.
But I'm asking you if you want faith.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you how you get faith. He said, you study the messianic prophecies. Mm. If you'll study them, you'll be a man of faith. He said, let me tell a story. He said, one night I met with a rabbi of rabbis. He was a scribe. Mm-hmm. He knew his book, I guess you'd call it the Torah, better than any other scribe that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Holy Hubert knew the Bible. They said about him, he had memorized the New Testament and the Psalms. He had memorized the New Testament in the Psalms, okay?
Yeah.
And he didn't call himself Holy Hubert.
Right.
Other people called him Holy Huber,
right,
because he'd separated himself unto the Lord, mm-hmm, and he tried to walk a pure life, okay?
Right.
He didn't try to think too much of himself. But in this case, he's having a debate in his own home,
right,
with a scribe of scribes. Wow. And Huber knew the messianic prophecies like nobody else, okay?
Right.
A messianic prophecy is a word in the scripture out of the older scriptures. The scriptures in their day, the, mm-hmm, the New Testament was really after Jesus,
right,
okay? Before that, there were the scriptures. And in the scriptures, God has so woven in these messianic prophecies.
Yeah.
I want to try to tell you, the Bible is like a tapestry that is woven together by the most awesome author. He's the author of all authors. Have you ever heard of foreshadowing? Foreshadowing, when the author, and in my book, I try to foreshadow, yeah, with a backstory on each, yeah, story, yeah, to build to it. Okay, so God has these little woven in things where a man will come under the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he'll say something about the Messiah that's to come.
Right, right,
they're
right.
All through there. There may be 300 of them in the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Personally, I believe I can prove to you that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul said that,
right,
because he, right, would do it through the scriptures,
right,
see?
Yeah.
He would look at the scriptures. And so he would tell one of these scriptures to the rabbi,
right,
and the rabbi had an answer.
Right,
he was
right.
So convinced, he'd say, Hubert, that's David.
Right.
And Hubert would say, no, it's talking about Jesus, see?
Right.
But sometimes you get in a debate, you know,
right,
you're really kind of going back and forth with competition.
Yeah.
But Hubert said, oh, if I didn't know that doubt was sin. Doubt is sin?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered that? Mm-hmm. Doubt is sin? Hey, believer, doubt's not your portion. Faith is. Hubert says, do you want faith? Yes, from this day forward, I'm a seeker of faith.
Right.
Not faith in faith, but
right,
faith that gets put into you. He's the one that puts the faith in us.
Right.
A man can't even call out him, but the Lord puts a little spark of faith in you. Then you call to him, okay?
Right.
So Huber was so convincing, he said, if I didn't know that doubt was faith, I mean,
right,
that doubt was sin,
right,
I would have sinned.
Right.
But he said, what I did, he inquired of the Lord on his knees. He said, Father, would you give me the scripture that'll open this man's eyes? He said he got it so plain.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And what it is Genesis 49:10.
Right, right.
It's a longer scripture. It's a place where Judah is speaking to the 12 sons.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, uh-huh, or Israel, they call him, is, uh-huh, speaking to his 12 sons. They become the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's speaking to Judah, and he's putting a word on each son.
Right.
This is in Genesis 49:10.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about a lion and a pup of a lion. It talks about Judah. But then he goes on to say this part. It says, a lawgiver shall not depart, nor the scepter between his feet, until Shiloh comes.
Wow.
Well, the old rabbi knew, yeah, that Shiloh, in this case, was the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah. The Jews are looking for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They missed out that Jesus is the Messiah. And the Lord said he would, they wouldn't be able to hear. They wouldn't be able to see. He came among them and they didn't even know it, okay?
Right.
They didn't. So this old rabbi goes, Huber, can we take a break? It's the wee hours of the morning.
Right, right, right.
I would like to meditate on this one.
Right.
So he said they went home.
Uh-huh.
3 days later, the rabbi called Huber and said, Huber, no longer call me rabbi, call me brother. Okay.
Come on now, it's awesome.
Yes, there are so many Jewish rabbis. I once saw a picture of a high school stadium, and all across they had long hair and beards way,
right,
down with,
mm-hmm,
a
Hanukkah. Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Well,
yeah.
No,
and on their cap.
Yeah. That's Hanukkah is actually the season.
Oh, yeah. Excuse
about,
me.
Right? Yarmulke
on their head.
Uh-huh.
And they're all believers in Jesus, see?
Yeah.
So
messianic believers, they call them, right?
The messianic believers,
yeah,
okay? So rabbi looks at me and he says, not rabbi, excuse me, Hubert looks at me,
uh-huh,
and says, if you want faith, meditate on the messianic prophecies.
Wow.
So I made it my life study. When I see one,
wow,
I write it down. I try to talk about it. I try to think about it, see?
Right.
Yeah, and it's a growth in process.
Right.
I was a young man in college. I was in a little Bible study trying to learn there, and this guy says to me, with about 15 other people, and I'm shy. He says, "Hey, John, what do you think this means here?"
Right.
You know, you're going to come down the hill on a foal of a donkey. Jesus says, "Hey, guys, go get me this donkey. It's a foal of a donkey, and we're going to ride down the hill." Right. And everybody goes, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Well, that's written in Zechariah 9. It says he'll come down the hill, right on the foal of a donkey. Mm. I didn't know that, but I just knew about horses.
Right.
I said, "Well, dude, he got on a colt, and he didn't even buck him off." I said, "Jesus must have had it together in the spirit, because that colt didn't even buck him. I've been bucked off, And so that's what I saw. Then later on, through experiences, oh, I see he's coming down the hill according to Zechariah 9, and he goes in the eastern gate.
Wow.
The book is all woven together.
Right.
You got to ask the Lord to open your eyes. And you do that when you call out to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm looking. I'm looking." The faith on the cross just looked at him.
Right.
But he called to him and says, "Will you remember me?" So now, that's what you do. Yeah. It may be now or in your prayer time. Look to the Lord and say, "Open my eyes." And all of a sudden, it says in the Bible, it's the glory of God to hide a matter, but it's the glory of a man to find it.
Yeah.
So then you begin to look for it, and you'll become, like, understand the Word. The Word by itself is works death.
Yeah.
That's just the regular logos in the Greek says. But the rhema word is when the Holy Spirit given to him comes to you, the word becomes alive. And then you'll begin to see that the word is precious. It's infallible. Mm. We have the time, I'd sing you the song. God's infallible word.
Awesome. Well, I'll go back to that scripture that really touched the heart of the rabbi and saved him was, you know, that the lawgiver would not go away until, which means... So once Israel was no more in regards to law left,
Yes. Well,
so
30 years after Jesus, it was all wiped clean to nothing.
Which caught the rabbi going, "Wait a minute.
Yes.
If it's ended, that means that Shiloh's come, that the Messiah has come."
And chronologically in a matter of time, but also geographically.
Wow.
Messiah had come. Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so many people trying to. It's the Word of God.
Yes.
Getting in the Word of God and letting the Word of God get in you and the rhema word and then speaking that to others.
Right.
And he cried out too. He didn't know it. So Holy Hubert started going, "God, give me something."
Yes. And then he heard.
Wow.
But you got to swallow this Word. That was one of my stumbling blocks. I couldn't believe there'd be one book. Okay. And I couldn't believe that I had to believe the Word. I finally had to put that away, no doubt. And now, you know, I love His Word, and you will too.
Listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program. We're going to continue to hear these amazing stories from this ordinary man, John Newland.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.